This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave in for Terry Gross. The Emmy Awards show airs this Sunday. On today's Fresh Air, we're featuring two guests who are Emmy nominees. Later on in the hour, we'll hear an interview with Tom Hanks about his miniseries From the Earth to the Moon. First, Tracy Ullman. Her HBO comedy show, Tracy Takes On, is up for 7 Emmys, including Best Lead Actress in a Variety or Music Program. In each episode of the show, Ullman tackles a different subject, such as marriage, Hollywood, smoking, and loss. Each program is a series of comic sketches and monologues in which the characters she's created, with the help of guest stars, deal with the subject at hand. Many of the shows are available on video from HBO. The 4th season of Tracy Takes On is now in production and will air early next year. Terry spoke with Tracy Ullman this winter when her book, based on the TV series, Tracy Takes On, was published.
Tracy Ullman, welcome back to Fresh Air.
Oh, it's lovely to be back. Hello, Terry.
I'd love for you to introduce us to some of the characters that you're doing now in your series and in your new book, both called Tracy Takes On. Let's start maybe with Linda Granger, a kind of washed-up actress and professional victim.
Well, darling, I love Linda Granger. Linda loves being on National Public Radio. Linda's the kind of person that goes on public television fund drives, and she says things like, you know, public television is a wonderful thing for all of us, you know, and it's the time, don't you love those pledge drives when people like Linda Granger get to go on public television? And normally she's doing complete dross infomercials, but then she gets to go and do a pledge drive. I see Linda's around L.A. all the time, you know.
Just describe
pretending
her for
to
us.
Be 39 and they're 55, and she's had a little collagen in her lips, and my cosmetic surgeon is an artist. And as long as they're doing infomercials or they're appearing on Gay Talk, on Public Access with her solid homosexual fan base, she's in show business, Terry. She's an inspirational speaker. She's an author. She's had cancer. She's a cancer survivor. And she has a daughter called Marmalade, because that's what they served on the muffins when I signed the adoption papers. And Linda's very glamorous. Her dream is to be in a Quentin Tarantino movie, though. Even if they just used a picture, an old VIP picture of Linda that was in the background, pinned up in a booth in a coffee shop in a Quentin Tarantino movie, she'd consider that a major comeback.
Does she seem like a cautionary tale to you of what an actress is capable of becoming if she's not careful?
She's a certain type of actress. I mean, she would do theater. Oh, theater is my first love, Terry. And
right.
She's always doing love letters with Hank Brinkley from the Channel 5 News. You notice the love letters pairings, Terry, got really terrible.
Oh,
they?
I know.
It was like they had to just put a stop to them.
For our listeners who don't know love letters, it's a two-person show that started off, you know, with, I think, Eli Wallach and his wife. And then as it went around the country, the stars got less and less stellar.
Yeah, Joe Namath and Phyllis Diller in love letters. The combos got kind of, but it was that sort of, you didn't have to learn the lines. You could just sit and read it, you know, and I imagine Linda, you know, doing that show somewhere in the wilds with a pair of reading glasses from a pharmacy, you know, dinner theatre.
Now, another character you're doing now is Sydney Cross, who is a lawyer. Describe what kind of lawyer she is.
When I started doing this show 3 years ago, I wanted to play like an aggressive, ambitious career woman and living in Los Angeles. And I thought, well, an agent was a little passé. And Sydney Cross, at that time, it was the O.J. Simpson trial, and we had all these lawyers going on TV every night. And I thought, do a lawyer. And the physicalities of Leslie Abramson were fascinating to me. So physically, it's a little like Leslie Abramson. I added my own sharky, gappy baby teeth, which really give me the character. And it's the voice of an agent of mine who was, like, crazed. Hi, Tracy, how you doing? You want to win an Oscar? We're going to win a fucking Oscar! She used to call me up every day. I think, oh, God, this woman's going to drive me crazy. And she's a relentlessly charmless litigator. And relentlessly ambitious and charmless litigator. That's how she's described. And but now she's kind of become endearing to me, Terry. This is the funny things about my characters. They are so, as gross as Sydney Cross is, I realise she's lonely. She can't get laid. You know, she's so ugly.
Not even by your cabbie character.
She's so ambitious. No, exactly. Even Chick can't do it. And she's the sort of person that lives in a very sterile sort of apartment with some unassembled Nautilus equipment in the corner that never got, you know, and pot noodles. And she's never home. And I just, you know, now I feel sorry for her. And as soon as I feel sorry for them, I can work on them even more.
Mm. And another character that you do is Trevor Ailes, who is a gay airline, steward, what's the word now?
He's a steward. You don't have to say hostess.
Flight attendant.
You can't say hostess for women.
Flight attendant is the word.
I think he's still called the steward for British Airways. You know, they wear those hats that say to fly, to serve. That they still wear those in British Airways. This is based on a very nice, now retired British Airways steward. And because of my lots of transatlantic flights over the years, going back and forth to my home in London and in Los Angeles, I used to see this guy, and very professional, kind, smart, mid-40s man, who was, you know, like, yes, sir, can I get to your cocktail, a hot towel, or I'll show you what the entree will be, to all the passengers, you know. And then when he'd see me back in the galley, he could like, oh, God, you know, oh, I've had such trouble with that bitch in 3B. And he would be able to be who he is, you know, when he was gay, and he was like, you know, tell me about his fella. And lovely man. I mean, and when I'm on aeroplanes, actually, I'm very frightened of flying. I sort of imagine Trevor or try to be Trevor, then I don't get so scared. And I remember being on the flight, actually, when his last flight on the Concorde, and he asked me if I wanted to... He was told he could take the jump seat in the cockpit and land in the Concorde cockpit. And he was so sweet to me. He said, I'd like you to have that honour. I'd like you to be the one. I said, no. I said, all these years, you've got to do it. No, it'd give me great pleasure if you... I said, no. So he did land in the cockpit of Concorde. And very nice man.
Another character that you do is Cheek the Cabbie.
Right.
And I'm wondering how often you actually have taken cabs in New York.
Oh, well, a lot.
Yeah.
And was always bumping into people like Chick, who seemed to have just no sense of humour. And if you say, where are you from? You know, trying to talk, what are you, secret police? You know, one of those guys, they're immediately uptight and no humour and very aggressive, driving aggressively, and hey, come on, what's the matter with you? Come on, salami. And he would always go. I remember I was in a cab one day with some guy like this, and he was going, the man this morning, I get my cab from him, and he called me a piece of shit, and I'm going to kill him. Tonight I go, I blow his brains out. I was like, I wonder if I should go to my appointment or just call the police. You know, I'm thinking he was so aggressive and driving so aggressively. I always say to these guys, can you slow down? You know, I've got two children, I don't want to die. And the smell of English leather aftershave that wafts through the vents of the cab. And
what happens when they find out you're in show business?
You know, I've got the movie. You know, they always say this cut of a shit guy. Chicken. You know, Martin Scorsese, I was using my cab. I said to him, I want to do a movie about Vegas, you know, gambling, and the Max Casino. What do I get from it, eh? Huh? It's always like it was their idea. I had Andrew Lloyd Webber in the cab, and I said, Phantom of the Opera, maybe you should do it. What does it give to Chick, eh? Yeah, there's guys, it was always their idea.
Tracy Ullman speaking with Terry Gross. Her HBO comedy series, Tracy Takes On, is nominated for 7 Emmys. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, we're featuring an interview Terry recorded with Tracy Ullman in January. The occasion was the publication of her new book, Tracy Takes On, based on her HBO comedy show.
I'm wondering if you ever get any flack for, you know, when you do somebody who is of a different ethnic group than you are. I have been told by several satirists that it's a very difficult time to do satire because everybody is so kind of defensive about somebody representing or stereotyping their ethnic
political
group.
Political correctness is just so, it's just inhibiting, it's just strangling this country, you know. I mean, if you do it with the right energy and spirit, we are different. Some people do talk like this, some people do wear clothes like this, some people do eat foods like this. I mean, you know, you have to be so cautious, and I don't I'm not a racist. I'm not doing caricatures. I'm just impersonating people I see. And I do research my characters very thoroughly. And I know that I got a bit of flack initially for the Asian character that I do. Indeterminate Asian. There you go. So you don't say where she's from either. Mrs. Nonanning. And
She's the owner of a donut shop.
Yeah, she's our donut. I know this woman. I get donuts when we're doing our writers' meetings. And I think it's difficult. It was a bit shocking for the Asians because they don't really have a lot of representation in the comedy world on television. And so there was a bit of an outcry about that. And HBO defended me and said, look, she does it in the right spirit, it's with the right energy, and she has a right to do it. And then I began to get letters from teenage Asian kids, and they'd say, this is great, and you're like my grandma, and, you know, if we don't have anyone on TV that actually is Asian, at least we've got you. and now she's very, you know, because my criteria for doing a character, Terry, is do they exist?
Mm-hmm.
Do people talk like this? Do they look like this? And, you know, I can impersonate them. I want to.
Did you ever run into this kind of criticism in England?
No. I have a new character in the show, the Black Lady, and that's great fun. And it was about time I did a black character. It was just difficult to do the makeup. You know, it's always time-consuming. And but that went out in my first show, and I've had a lot of response.
This is the character who works at the airport?
It's great fun. Yeah, Shanisha.
Yeah, she works at the airport at the, not the X-ray, right. What you call it, with the security thing.
But every time I go through those things, the woman always says to me, they look at me, they go, you on TV? There's always that moment, they look at me, she on TV? And I just thought, I love those, the airports, it's totally run by these incredible black women with fabulous hairstyles. And they have a moment of supreme power. When you go through that security check, I stopped at Steven Spielberg. I said, hey, you stand still. You won't get on that plane. You want to get on that plane? That plane could blow up. I'm security. Everybody, they don't have time for security. You know, and they just get mad because you don't want to stop. You don't want me to search your bag. Put your keys in a bowl and walk through again. And Adele Givens came and joined me as Helora. And Adele Givens is a brilliant comedian. I'd seen a lot of her on Deaf Comedy Jam on HBO, and she was so great with me. I mean, that would really help me to do that character because she was totally relaxed about me. Even when I began to melt under the lights, you know, and suddenly this white woman starts appearing, you know, with my makeup melted off. And she gave me this brilliant crash course in African American.
What kind of tips did she give you?
Corrected me during that. Just stuff, and was giving me line readings during the day, and I love stuff when she gets all excited. It's on. I'm getting this book deal. It's on. It's go, girl. And we had a wonderful time. And it was tough to, you know, I go out there. I'm covered in black makeup. I've got this body padding on, all sorts of things. And there's a wig. And I'm standing there amongst, you know, 10 black people. I'm thinking, what am I going to do here? I'm going to join in. And so I started taking my booty. And I had a great time, and they know, you know, they accepted me, and I just do it, and I love it. I get into this fevered sort of state where I don't know who I am anymore, and that's heaven to me.
Well, do you ever really not know who you are anymore? I mean, I see all your characters, and they're all so convincing, and I think, gee, do you go through an identity crisis? Do you look in the mirror and think, I could be anybody, depending on what accent I put on or how I do my hair? I mean, you could pass for anybody.
It's weird. I guess if I was a Buddhist, which is the religion I'm most interested in, is I suppose I'm reincarnated many, many times, and I have been all these people. That might be an explanation for it. The Buddhists seem to know exactly why I'm like this.
Let me stop you, because I don't think that's true, because Fern Rosenthal didn't live centuries ago.
Yeah, I know, she is so... I did, Terry, but I couldn't get my hair done. There was no good dye. There was this awful inky stuff they'd put on it down by the river. There was henna. Ugh, it was awful. Thank God for L'Oreal. Yeah, I know. She's so... An acrylic. We couldn't get the acrylic nails. We did it with porcelain hundreds of years ago, Terry. It was awful. It would break. It would shatter.
She's one of my favorite characters of yours. She's the housewife from
Gross.
Long Island.
Are you a Jew? Are you, Terry, are you Jewish?
I think I'm good for the Jews.
Yeah, are you a Jew? I'm asking you a question, darling. Are you a Jew?
Yeah, Fern, yeah.
You're a Jew. You have any family like Fern?
Not exactly, but I've had neighbors.
Come on, I've had neighbors. Jews never admit there's someone like Fern in their family. You go to Florida, Terry? You have any family in Florida?
I have family in Florida, yes. I know many Ferns
where
in Florida.
Where, tell me. Talk to me. You like to go to the theater in Florida? They like to go to the big theaters?
It's all dinner theater.
I know, like, they go down there to die, and they make them go to the theater, all these poor old Jews in Florida. It's so sad, isn't it? They're dragging them around to see Dreamgirls and stuff, you know. He wants to see a show with a lot of Schwartzes. And they drag, it's like, let him die. Don't make him go to the theater.
Is there anyone
it's terrible.
Who's
the,
did you meet ever meet anyone who's the equivalent of Fern Rosenthal in Florida? I mean, in
what? Just what? State in the obvious.
No,
it was really hard. And as you're talking to them, it's like, another one's died. They're going past the condos. So you hear the down there.
I meant to say in England.
In England, there's a. It's the Jews live in the. Golders Green and Dallas Hill. Now, I'm doing an American accent here, but they're very, oh, darling, listen. They're very Jewish. It's the same thing. They got but to American Jews, English Jews, they got off the boat too early. They missed out. When my friend Gail Parrott meets English Jews, oh, you got off the boat too early. So.
Are there a lot of types you've been exposed to in America that you didn't have in England?
New York Jews, seriously, to me, are incredibly funny. I love them. And they're just, they love the Fern character. And they're very accepting of me. And, I mean, you know, I feel like I'm an honorary Jew. I always see equivalents in England. I mean, there's fabulous people to impersonate in England. You know, my class system is rich. And I, of course, you know that I do HRH. The royal character that I do, one feels that one is terribly inclined to have a web page nowadays. I love that the Queen is actually on the web now.
Oh, is she? I didn't know.
Oh, she, the royal. What did I say in my book about the Queen? I must read what I said about that. Well, not, it's not the Queen, by the way. HRH is a conglomeration of. It's the Queen's voice, I suppose. And it's Princess Margaret's lifestyle and the Duchess of Kent's hats and Princess Anne's teeth. Age 57, she has two birthdays, the day she was born and her official birthday, a day that allows her subjects to rejoice. She has been very active recently in raising funds for a new royal yacht, something she believes is awfully important to the man in the street, even though he will never be allowed to set foot in it. Please send much-needed contributions to any one of the 14 royal houses or contact www.hrh.commoners. So the book is full of little bits like that and information on the Queen, yeah. HRH.
And my guest is Tracy Ullman. Her new book is called Tracy Takes On, and it's a companion to her HBO series, Tracy Takes On. And this season she's taking on, let's see, music and politics and religion, I think.
Religion,
smoking.
Marriage. Smoking, that's a good show. That's nice.
Do you smoke?
I used to.
Did you give it up?
I used to, but that was a. If I live till 80, I'll start again because I still miss it.
You still have dreams about smoking?
Yeah. It was so much
What happens in your smoking dreams?
I'm just at a party in the 70s again. And I just, it's funny. I'll have a great meal, I'll have a cup of coffee, and I think, oh, I'm missing something. This is, you know, I've given up for 15 years. But that was a good show, actually. That was a really good subject for all the characters. That was terrific, smoking. I've got a nice character that, because I think taking on national public radio or taking on public television or something might be funny. Because my character, Bertie Godsland, she's age 42, devout Christian, married to Bob, a tobacco industry executive. They live on Danquel Drive within a graceful, gated, guarded community with their 7 homeschooled children. And I think she just hates public radio. I think it's a tool of the devil. I really do, Miss Gross. And she's a lovely, she's my most beautiful character. She's got flicked up hair and the white teeth and the blue eyes.
And I think she's always wearing red and white.
That's right. Ain't that great?
Now, is it harder for you to spend time just observing people now that you're well known?
No. No. I mean, you don't need to literally be looking at them on the street. Yeah, I love documentaries, that, especially the ones that are made at HBO by a brilliant lady. Sheila Nevin commissions these great documentaries on HBO. I watch those. And I listen to NPR a lot. I mean, you have so much, many interviews from all around the country, all your stations. I listen to Accents. It is difficult if I say to somebody, oh, I really want to do your voice. Can you make a tape for me? And they go, oh, you want to sound like me? And then they become different. And so I don't do that directly. If I want to impersonate somebody from somewhere, I just do it anonymously and call somebody that works at a library in that town or something.
Tracy Ullman spoke with Terry in January. Her HBO series, Tracy Takes On, is nominated for 7 Emmy Awards. You can see Tracy Ullman on the season premiere of Fox's Ally McBeal this Monday. Ullman plays Ally's therapist. I'm Barbara Bogave, and this is Fresh Air.